Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight just to land on the line.
Hey, what's up, college football fans? The College Ball Show is back. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to discuss everything that is college football. Now, obviously, we got a lot to talk about from week five. We had some, we had a couple of upsets. I'd say more of the minor type of upsets. Nothing too major like we saw in the past couple of weeks. Now, if you look at the top 25 and how many top 25 teams lost, well, obviously there's a lot of them because, you had, what was it, five? Yeah, I think it was five different ranked versus ranked teams last week. So we had a whole lot to talk about on that side of things. Obviously, one of the biggest scares, a couple other programs might, differ, but one of the biggest scares was Syracuse and Clemson, that game, man. And we're going to dig into that game fairly early, even though it didn't turn out to be an upset. Some interesting stuff is taking place there, and actually kind of across the country, too, as far as basically the youth serving the old. Right, the youth basically taking over, the young lion roaring back at the old lion, taking over the turf because we're seeing that. We saw that at Miami, we saw that at Alabama. Clemson had the two quarterback system. Now they don't. Actually at Notre Dame they got a new quarterback who's the younger quarterback. So there's a variety of these going around. We'll talk about that. But, yeah, a lot of good games. Obviously, the headlining game was Ohio State and Penn State, 27-16. Ohio State comes back and gets the W. That West Virginia-Texas Tech game was a blast, too. I shouldn't say not as high scoring because one of the teams got the 40. But it was definitely competitive. Michigan, actually, there was another scare. Big scare, actually, down 17. A couple other teams kind of looked the part that we're starting to get used to seeing. Kentucky, something we've been talking about Kentucky a lot. They got a big matchup where they're actually the underdog against A&M. But I think we should start with the Thursday night game, Miami. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to start with that game. But Ohio State and Penn State battled. They battled down to the wire, basically. Definitely some controversy on the play call. 100% some controversy there on the play call on the fourth down. And, God, what was it, fourth and four or fourth and five for Penn State? One of those where you look and go, okay, if that's really what you're going to do, I guess not. I guess so, I mean. But both quarterbacks played pretty good. The young Dwayne Haskins, who took over for JT Parrott, has just had a great year. He did throw a pick that wasn't his fault, had several drops, I think four or five drops, especially in the first half. But I think his second pick this season, which, like I said, it was a drop pass that bounced in or off his receiver's hands into the defender. 123 passes, only two interceptions, which obviously is pretty good, especially for a young quarterback like that. And for a while, though, that potent Ohio State Buckeye offense was getting tamed. They had 5 3-and-outs on 8 drives. It was just tough, you know, tough sludging. They were just stuck in concrete, it seemed like. But if you've paid attention to this rivalry game that is now a rivalry game the last couple of years, in 2016, Penn State won. They were down by 14. The last 2 years, Ohio State won, and they were down by 18 and obviously 13 in this game. But, yeah, Haskins really came through. He has 3 touchdown passes in 4 out of 5 games this season. So, like I said, and that's not to take anything away from Trace McSorley, because he had a heck of a game as well. A lot of scrambling ability we see out of him as well, not just the big arm and the touchdowns there. He had a 175 on the ground, too, on 25 carries, man. And he had a bunch of good first down runs, I noticed, too. Penn State, Marshall, really was, you know, looking strong there, especially when they got up by 2 scores and not just, you know, 2 field goals. What happened? What'd you think of the game? And like I said, that fourth down call, wow, kind of a head scratcher there, to say the least.
Yeah, I honestly, if you've listened to this show, you know I'm not a huge fan of Urban Meyer. Not breaking news there. But man, that Coach Franklin, he drives me nuts. I guess I'm not his biggest fan. But I'll get to his post-game press conference in a bit. For the game, though, itself, obviously great football game. As you mentioned, Penn State looked in control in the first half, Chris. Obviously, even not letting Ohio State score in the first quarter. I mean, they had the momentum. But come second half, maybe some adjustments were made at halftime, but the Ohio State offense got rolling. And even down basically 2 scores as the game kept going, I mean, it was a gritty comeback from Ohio State's offense, from a quarterback who maybe the best quarterback Meyer's had since he's been there. Maybe not as big as fast as other guys that he's had, but the guy can throw passes. A great effort by Penn State first half. A better effort by Ohio State in the second half. Maybe made a couple of adjustments. And the thing that stood out to me, Chris, is secondary tackling. Now, I know in the NFL, when you watch games, at moments you see DBs like scared to death to actually hit people. I kind of get that because it's NFL. In this college, these receivers they're facing aren't exactly Julio Jones or A.J. Green. Like, tackles are allowed to be made. But if you watched Ohio State's last 2 touchdowns, there was combined 58 yards after a catch. I think one of them caught the ball in the 30, and one of them caught the ball in the, like, 25 or 27 and just took off. And when you watch the replays on the first touchdown Ohio State scored to come back, Chris, there was 4 or 5 missed tackles. Like, straight up either awful angles, teammate ran into teammate, and it's like, oh, my God, how do you do that? And the second Ohio State touchdown they had, again, it was awful tackling by the secondary. Now, I get that, again, it's not like Ed Reed back in the day for your Hurricanes and all this, but watching those replays, I would have lost my mind as a Penn State secondary coach. I'm not saying that later in the game they don't score a touchdown on that drive or something, but, man, to see basically 3 or 4 guys on both of Ohio State's touchdowns just whiff or take awful angles, that's just not a mistake you can make, Chris. It's just execution, execution, execution. And as you mentioned, the play call, again, execution. The Ohio State defensive line outwitted Penn State's offensive line with a smart 4th and 5 to win the game. So I thought tremendous game. Obviously, the whiteout was cool. It's a fun scene. You got 2 very emotional coaches.
That really is, man.
2 teams that
place was jumping, dude. When they went to the broadcast, it was like, holy shit, you can't even see the crowd. It's just one big blur.
Yeah, they do it well there. They do it, and it's, you know, all their past drama's gone away. They do have a coach who they love there, who's building the team in the right direction. You know, everything's kind of going right for them. But just a little, maybe there's still a couple of notches left behind that skill of Ohio State players. Because maybe instead of me saying, hey, those Penn State guys maybe blew a couple of tackles on those last plays, maybe you could also say that Ohio State still is kind of a little bit of a speed level above Penn State, where Meyer still has those playmakers that Penn State hasn't quite brought in yet. And that was kind of his point in the press conference, speaking of the Penn State coach. And he was like, you know what? We're a good program. We're really good. We're great. And we want to get to level Ohio State. I'm going to take us there. Now, I think that's a little bit of a coach speak and much of BS, but I think there is a fine level of Penn State is on the rise. That they've been having good 3 or 4 years in a row, Chris, and maybe they should take a level up. And I think that level up of talent was just enough for Ohio State to come back and get the W last Saturday.
I agree. What he was talking about, the Penn State coach there saying that we're a great program, but we're not an elite program. And maybe the word, you know, maybe people have different usages or meanings behind the word great and elite, and they're basically the same, or they think they're the same. I could see people,
sure,
like having issues with that. But the point, overall point he was making, I do agree with that. Now, I don't think, you know, that game came down to 100% talent, though, because, I just don't think that per se. But yeah, maybe some of it is that, you know, the it's just a belief in general. But yeah, they got to be late enough in that game. They were up enough, and their defense, Penn State's defense, that had to replace, I think, 9 starters from last year's defense. It has been a question mark in spots this year. And I'm glad that you brought up those missed tackles. I did, especially on one of those plays. I definitely saw that. But yeah, I don't know, man. It was just a tough game, and Ohio State gets a huge, huge, huge win on the road. And by the way, I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the show. We're gonna get right back to recap in week 5. Of course, we gotta, you know, take a look at all the marquee matchups and games flying under the radar for week 6, number 7, Oklahoma versus number 19, Texas, number 5, LSU versus somehow number 22, Florida. Don't know how they're ranked per se. What's their great win? I don't know. Number 6, Notre Dame versus number 24, Virginia Tech. And, you know, more included, like I said, in that week 6 schedule. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, we stream it live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoperadio. It's under the Rope It Up Radio podcast umbrella. It can be found here. It's kind of the headquarters, like I said, it archives here as well. But, you know, it's available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, Player FM. Tune in. We get a lot of listens from there, too. And also, we're part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network. That's available everywhere. You can stream it on Spotify. You can check it out on iHeartRadio. Go ahead and head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football. It's basketball. It's baseball. It's boxing. It's everything in between. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. Read an article. I do the college football weekly predictions, and I have a variety of segments in there. Maybe listen to the pod right there. And, you know, they got a great sponsor over there. You can make a bet, and they'll link it right to mybookie.ag, sponsor over there for us gambling degenerates, is mybookie.ag. Because it was such a marquee game. Go ahead. What's that?
I was going to say, well, speaking of gambling, sorry, that if you bet Clemson, I mean, that I'll just say, I mean, if they were a 23-point favorite. They won 27-23. It wasn't pretty. And there was probably ghosts in the air from last year, because last year Clemson's quarterback goes down, gets hurt, Syracuse beats them. This year, Clemson's quarterback goes down, gets hurt in what was one of the scariest hits I've seen in a long time. Clemson's quarterback is running down the sidelines. He basically he kind of falls down, and as he falls down and kind of lowers his head, a linebacker's pads on Syracuse literally meet him like just head on. It was scary. So if you're a Clemson fan, you're thinking, oh, my God, Syracuse is about to derail our season possibly yet again. Trevor Lawrence goes out. The other boy, Brian, had just basically said, I'm leaving to transfer. Screw this school. I don't want to be a backup here. And then you're left with your third stringer, essentially, in Chase Price, who brought Clemson back to a win. Maybe that's a win that can keep them on pace for their national title season. Again, obviously, in Vegas's mind, they didn't feel this would be a close game. Maybe Syracuse kind of has their number for matching up, at least making it respectable. But a very nice comeback effort. They were down 16-7 at half. Syracuse fans are probably losing their mind. But this young kid comes in. He was 7 of 13, Chris, 83 yards, nothing flashy. He actually even threw a pretty ugly pick, I remember seeing. But
well, they ran the
Syracuse
ball.
Came back.
That was the key.
Yeah.
They ran the ball in the second half. They ran it down their throat. The running back had over 200 yards.
And Chris, you almost can't blame him either. You know, you're putting this kid in a tough spot where you're down. You're not completely down and out. Like, the game's not wasted away. But you're asking him to make throws that are pretty difficult. But overall, a nice comeback win that keeps him on track for a Final Four berth. The ghost of Syracuse, maybe the next year they'll, like, start their fourth string and keep the starter ready. I don't know. It is weird, though, to lose the quarterback back-to-back years and versus the same team. Just some weird kind of karma juju going on. But a nice win by Clemson.
Well,
it was at home. That honestly. Go ahead.
Well, just to talk a little bit more about that, I mentioned at the top how, you know, Jalen Hurts, Kelly Bryant, Malik Rozier, and Brandon Wimbush were all starters the year before and starters in general coming into this year, at least you thought. Obviously, the Jalen Hurt, Tua, that was an actual, you know, battle for it, I would say, because, you know, Saban definitely stringed that one along, which was very smart. But in the situation with Clemson, Kelly Bryant has been a pretty damn good quarterback for them. He actually waited his years on the bench, three of them on the bench. So he's waiting and waiting and waiting. And as a senior, he said, hey, all right, I'm the starter. You know, I started last year, had a great year. And, so he's thinking, you know, I'm good to go. And then all of a sudden, it becomes, they're not really talking about it in the off season per se, but once the game starts, they're basically running a two quarterback system. And they feel like, you know, much like Perry and Book and Tua, they feel like the young buck can actually maybe perform the actual offense. What it calls for, better. Are you on speaker, by the way? Just making sure.
No.
Okay, all right, cool. I'm just getting some inner background noise. So, Kelly Bryant, when you said he decided to not be at this school, I can't really blame him. He's a guy that sat for 2 years behind a stud quarterback. Then he got his shot and played really good. For a starter, you know, and he came in this year, and then he wasn't playing bad. It's not like he struggled on the field, and it was a consistent, like, the first three games of the year, he was just not himself, kind of like, I would say, more like a Rozier, where you could see the holes clearly. I can't really be mad at Bryant, because all he's doing is taking advantage of his senior year. And he can use the redshirt rule to only play in four games. And since since that's what he played in, and then they got put to the bench and said, not only are you going to be put to the bench, but you're going to be benched. We're not going with the two quarterback system, which is kind of like, well, wait a second. So we went with the two quarterback system, and now we're not going to, and now he's the starter. So, you know what I mean? Like, if they would have just gave Kelly the keys the whole year and let him be bad or something, then you could replace him. But it's kind of a weird scenario over there, and it'll be interesting to see if it comes back to burn Clemson in the ass. I mean, it almost did last week, and it potentially could in the future. This guy likes to run, too, and he just had a concussion. Like you said, the neck injury was a potential there. It's definitely got to be
scary.
Yeah, it's got to be a sore neck minimum.
Sure.
But to me, it's like, well, Dabo, you kind of deserve this, you know, because the way you handled it. And so what's the guy going to do? He waited around for years. Then when he was asked to play, he played very well. So I can't blame the guy for saying, well, I'm going to transfer and actually play my senior year, the one I've been working my whole career for. And so I guess that's kind of the breaks, whereas, you know, the Jalen Hurts, Tua, they kept that open since last year. Now, that's a different situation, obviously.
Sure.
Because, you know, Tua actually in the championship game showed his worth. Well, we just got to keep an eye on that scenario and see how that goes. Whereas Jalen Hurts is not a senior, you know what I mean? So he could transfer some and not, you know, disrupt things. And Clemson kind of knew that was coming. So they were like, hey, it's all good. We get it. It sucks for you. We feel positive about it. The problem is they got like a red shirt or at least a red shirt freshman, I believe, who's already taken a red shirt year, I believe. And then they have two walk-ons at quarterback. So that's their depth, a red shirt freshman and two walk-ons. And I kind of feel like it's up to Dabo. And if Dabo, he should have maybe been more crafty and waited one more week. So then, therefore, Bryant couldn't transfer, you know? Now, that would be a dick move.
Sure.
Probably more of a dick move than you're already doing. But since you're already being a dick, you might as well cover your ass in the meantime. Because you never know, dude. You never know. That might – that's interesting. That's very interesting. Speaking of a quarterback coming off the bench as the younger guy – Notre Dame, the last 2 weeks, this Ian Book, the guy's been very impressive. I have this little quick hits recap note that I put like 6 or 7 different performances or things that happen, an upset that's very rare or whatever. And I put him up, you know, last week going, hey, this Book kid had a good game. And he made me look good because the guy came out. And especially against the Stanford defense, 24 of 33. I mean, 33 attempts not playing from behind for Notre Dame football is a lot of attempts out of their quarterback. 4 touchdowns, no picks. They were able to run the ball. They had Williams, who had a 161 and a touch, 272 overall for running game in general. And they contained KJ Costello. They also contained Love. And overall, of course, you know, Costello got sacked a bunch. They only had 55 yards rushing. And so I was really impressed how they pulled away. Now, it was a tight game for a good chunk of the game. And there was, I think, a point where they got it. I think it was early in the third quarter. Or in the third quarter, where they got it to like a 10-point lead, I think 24-14, I believe. But it was 24-17. Notre Dame missed a field goal, and you're thinking, okay, they're going to get the ball back. This is going to be a tight game. And in a 3-and-out, touchdown, interception, touchdown, freaking game's over. 38-17, Notre Dame just – you know, what a way to end the fourth quarter. I was really impressed. I really thought Stanford would be able to hang with them down the stretch, but that wasn't the case. And it looks like Notre Dame's got a QB, man.
Yeah, they're like average yards per play since he's taken over is just skyrocketed compared to Wimbush start of the year. It's not even close how much smoother and more effective the offense is. And I do give them credit for this game, but I also don't, like, overcredit them because this was a tough spot for Stanford, who's had one of the most toughest schedules to start off this season, hands down. I mean, you had to play San Diego State. You had to play USC. You had to play Oregon. You had to play Notre Dame. It's like, how many more punches can you take before you have one slip-up? And this slip-up came in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, there could have been some maybe just mental or physical fatigue. I mean, this team has gone through a gauntlet. And when you're doing that against a team like Notre Dame, who always has a packed stadium and is always plays well at home, I mean, you can't blame them for just falling a little bit short. Again, I don't want to discredit Notre Dame, Chris, because like you said, they put up 38 points, had a nice win. They have a quarterback that's got them rolling. But I guess I just wouldn't move Stanford too far down because, man, running the table with what they had, that's a beast of a schedule. And I mean, at some point, they got to catch a little bit of a break. So props Notre Dame, good win. But it's just I kind of saw it coming. I should have mentioned it on the show because – I know we talked about this game last week, and I was like, damn.
Yeah, you can't say you saw it coming if you didn't mention it, buddy. Just so you know.
I thought about it after our podcast of, like, you know, and you see it so much in college football. And we'll talk about this later in the year of, like, team plays three hard games in a row, and, damn, they got a fourth game. Well, God, if they lose, that sucks. No one ever wants to lose. But realistically, you know, it's harder on the table. So I've said enough there.
Yeah,
so, and then I'll talk about this game very quickly. But Auburn, I mean, they played Southern Miss. They won 24-13. That is another week in a row with a very, I would say, lackadaisical scoreboard. I mean, last week Arkansas gained them offensively by far, and now you beat Southern Miss at home by 11 points. You scored a one touchdown.
They didn't
even have
Brett Favre either.
One touchdown, I mean, and you scored three. I'm not sure what, I mean, people keep ripping LSU for being ranked fifth. What the hell has Auburn done to be ranked 10th? You skated by Washington, and LSU beat you at home, and you can't even blow out Southern Miss, and Arkansas game was a mind-baffling game from stats? It's like, I don't know, this Auburn team has to get something going, because their schedule is about to become very ugly, Chris, as we've talked about on our first show of the year. And they better get a little more in check, because if you can't roll on Southern Miss, you know, you ain't rolling against Bama. I had to say that. No pun intended there, but just another, I would say, lackadaisical performance from the Auburn Tigers.
But I won't
game,
say
though,
that they shouldn't be ranked high, though, because they beat Washington – who's at ranked high. So, but yeah, it's lackadaisical. They are, it's lackluster. That's what they're known for, is defense and an offense that can put up points. Now, it may be not spreading everybody out and chucking it around, you know, 82 times, but yeah, they're known, the coach is known for offense. That's what he's known for, period, point blank, simple, whether it's a guy that can run and pass or just pass, you know, and that's definitely, I mean, they definitely need to stop playing to level. Like, you got to show who you are. You know what I mean? You definitely got to show who you are. What were you going to say, though? You're about to start with something.
And the two games I watched basically from start to finish are damn near close. Just from a fun standpoint, man, Texas Tech West Virginia was an enjoyable game. West Virginia scored 28 points in the first quarter. May look like it was going to be a cakewalk. Lowly starts coming back in offense, but then their quarterback, Bowman, gets, unfortunately, a punctured lung, which he had already in the game, but the dude was in the hospital as of like a day ago, so I hope that he's okay. And then Texas Tech brings in this backup quarterback, who you're thinking, okay, who the heck is Jet Duffy, and he almost brings him back for a win. This game at one point was 35-7. You bring in a backup quarterback who hasn't played this year for more than three or four passes, and West Virginia's offense went into sleepwalking mode. And at a point there, Texas Tech was down 7 points, you know, basically doing their best to make a comeback late in the game at home, then Chris, that turned out to be a hell of a game. I mean, you saw offense, you saw talent. I'm not quite sure why West Virginia went sleepwalking, but they did. Texas Tech almost comes back. Just a very fun and enjoyable game. I did hit the over. It was the over. I had over 74.5. Texas Tech scored with about 20 seconds to go to make an 8-point game. So I just walked in the back door and said, thank you, sir. Fun game to watch. And I'll just say this for my one point, and I'll touch one more game, and I'll throw it back to you, brother. When West Virginia's offense is smoking, that Wilgear is nasty. That first quarter on film is like, oh, my God, this dude is throwing passes that seem to be more NFL than college style. And when they're rolling, that's scary. And my other game, and I'll throw it to you, like I said, I did watch Kentucky, South Carolina. I bet them. I said bet Kentucky. I bet them a decent amount, and they came through. That game, after about the second quarter, you knew it was done. They had momentum. That place was jumping. Kentucky's run game is sick. They got a defense that's much better than people think. There was never a doubt in my mind. I guess South Carolina could have made it a little bit closer in the second half. They had a couple of possessions, but they just couldn't get enough points. Kentucky wins 24-10. Their momentum continues to soar. Chris, when you have a sick defense, a team that people consistently continue to doubt, along with a running game that has a phenomenal running back, figure out, okay, maybe instead of being kind of like, oh, my God, Kentucky's good, maybe they got to elevate to the level of, okay, we got to look out for them, kind of like James Franklin was breaking down Penn State. Not there to that level yet, but they've gone from who the hell is Kentucky to, oh, my God, they won a few too. Dude, if you don't look at them on your schedule, they're going to beat you.
Yeah, and they got an interesting one coming up, man. They are the underdog in that one, too. Just kind of closing out some of these top 25 games. Oregon outlasted Cal 42-24 on the road. Nice little W there. Texas jumped on Kansas State quick, but then kind of lingered along and like you said, kind of sleepwalked. You know how you're talking about West Virginia. Texas kind of sleepwalked in that one. It was a road game, but they got the job done 19-14. But a close game, definitely a close game. Va Tech upset Duke. They were like a 4 or 5 point favorite at home. Something we talked about last week as well. Mississippi State, they're just not as good as maybe people were thinking they were at the beginning of the year. They lost to Florida 13-6. Interesting game here. Down 17-0. Michigan comes back, rallies back, wins 20-17. But that would have been a really bad, bad, bad freaking loss there. Because Northwestern is just not the program that they've been, say, the last 6-7 years or something like that. They're struggling a little bit. They're definitely struggling a little bit. And then there was another one I was going to bring up. It's, what was it? There was one more game. I can't quite remember what it was. Let me see. Oh, here it is. I got it. So, Miami. Turnover chain. You can hear that. But the turnover chain was out and about, I'd have to say. I mean, holy cow. You know, it's funny. I was all scared about that game, and I was saying, hey, that spread seems pretty damn wide. Then all of a sudden you look at the first half, you're like, okay, well, I guess Vegas knows what the hell they're talking about. Six or seven turnovers? I lost count. Miami, three defensive touchdowns. Three of them. Two picks and a fumble. Or no, it was all three damn defense. I mean, the chain was, I think it got broke or something. It was out and about. And it's so funny because when they're playing a home game, first of all, it's so nice to have a home, like, crowd now, unless you're, like, usually it'd be Florida State and then another, if we had a ranked opponent or two ranked opponents at home, that would be the big game. So other than that, the crowd would be like, yeah, it's South Beach. We're not coming to the game. But that's not the case anymore. So it's nice to have that. But the offense, Marshall, literally has to go to, like, signals for the first couple of plays because, they're still celebrating the defensive turnover. So the turnover chain, and they go up on the bench, and the crowd goes nuts. And meanwhile, the offense is like, we're trying to get our calls here. We got to go to a signal here because it's so damn loud. So they were supposed to win the game, but 47-10. The young Buck Perry played really good in the first half. But, yeah, just all defense. All defense, man. That's a 6 turnovers, and 3 of them go to the house? Oh, my God. They had to have been – you know how many turnover chain – videos I sent to people that night? Oh, my God. They just got to hate me. I even sent one to you. It was ugly, but pretty at the same time.
I couldn't quite figure out the name of the song. It's like one of those rap songs where you just hear repeat, but it works for them. It does. And I want to pat myself on the back a little bit. I did give out 2 good picks last week, Chris. I said bet Kentucky, and I also said bet Purdue. And I remember when I said that, you were like, wait, who's favored and what's going on? And I said Purdue's going to beat Nebraska at home. I took Purdue first half. They covered the first half and covered the game. I believe Purdue was favored by 3.5 for the game. They won 42-28. And not that we need to break this game down much, but Nebraska continues to suck. Purdue's got a really good coach with a team that's trying to dig themselves out of a hole after some tough losses. But just want to say, hey, 2-0 on the week, had some good picks. Unfortunately, the one pick I want to get to that's kind of sad news is, and in fairness, you deserve a little bit of a break, you had picked Air Force to beat Nevada in our crappy pick of the week. And I was going to bet that game myself, Chris, and then I looked at information because the line had gone from -6 to -3. So Air Force has gone from a 6-point favorite to a 3-point favorite, and I don't think Nevada has a massive following of bettors. So I did a little research. Air Force's quarterback
is they're in Nevada, dude. They're in Nevada. So, I mean, come on, dude. What do you mean they don't have any Vegas people? They're in goddamn Nevada. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Give me this research, because I'm going to put in a goddamn appeal on this one. Go ahead. I'm putting an appeal on this one. Go ahead.
I was curious, besides you, with the Vegas factor or Reno factor, I was like, why did the line jump 3 points down? For an undisclosed injury, Air Force's starting quarterback was out for the game. Now, clearly, if you've seen these Army or Academy teams play, they're obviously heavy on the option. Air Force is no different. Their quarterback had a couple of great games. He was not playing for this game. So, and even then, the boys fought hard. Nevada won 28-25, but I'm going to grant a washed bet due to unknown speculation and a line movement collapse of the quarterback being hurt with an undisclosed injury. You know, we try to make picks on this show for fun. We do our research, and then we get a quarterback.
Then we get
Belichick.
We got Belichick, God damn it. We got Belichick.
We did. And so I'm just going to count that as a wash. This is like if we were the horse races, like the horse never left the gate. He bucked off his rider. That's what happened, Chris. We got bucked off the horse. that's not held against you, sir.
So I'm 1-3-1. Let's call it that. 1-3-1. That sounds a lot better than 1-4. That sounds a lot better. Is there any other games? I know your squad, USC. Got a nice little W on the road there, quietly but steadily trying to rebound. TCU just barely by. They got to right the ship there. By the way, 7-2-4, we're going to get to you in just a moment. Was there any other games that you watched or want to comment on? Or got Nebraska, though. You know, a lot of these new coaches, wow, they're getting their ass kicked, dude. 0-4 in Nebraska.
Yeah.
What was it? Or no, 0-5? Is it 0-5 now? It should be 0-5, right? Or maybe not. Maybe they had a bye week already. I don't know, but
0-4.
Wow, dude.
Oh, no. 0-4. They had their first game of the year rained out due to lightning.
Yeah. That's right. I wonder if
my
that got postponed
before,
or not.
I don't know. It doesn't sound like, because it was kind of a non-conference, kind of no-namer team. I'm not sure if they will replay that. But the only game I also want to talk about, which, unfortunately, some of the magic has disappeared. My Fighting Lane Kiffins, they lost to Middle Tennessee 25-24. They were up 14-0. I'm like, okay, on the road, they're going to go for another Conference USA undefeated season. Not so fast. They lost 25-24. Middle Tennessee had a little comeback in the second half. Kiffin loses his first conference game, but I expect a massive bounce back this week against Old Dominion. Lane Kiffin, quota filled. Fight on.
There you go. Nice. And just to, for those keeping track at home, some quick hits recap. Like I said, it certainly wasn't Penn State quarterback Trace McSorley's fault that the Nittany Lions lost to Ohio State, unless he changed the play to that play call. But he set a single game school record for total offense, 461, and like I said, .179. And by the way, the stellar Northwestern, or not Northwestern, but Northwest quarterback up there in Washington, Jake Browning, became the Huskies' all-time passing leader, 10,347. In Arizona State, this running back, Eno Benjamin, 312, ran for 312 in a touchdown.
Dear Lord.
Sun Devils just destroyed. Oregon State, and a true freshman running back, Puka Williams Jr. from Kansas. We brought up Kansas a couple times so far. He leads the Big 12 in rushing. He's averaging 125 a game. He's a sixth overall in the country. Not bad. And by the way, Kyler Murray, a Heisman front runner for the Sooners, just kept it going, threw for 432 and accounted for 7 touchdowns. Let's go to 724 and see what they have to say. 724, you're live on the College Ball Show. What's going on?
Hey, gentlemen, it's Mike. I'd like to give you my play of the week here for Saturday. And I'm going to take – I think you got to look at Pitt at home getting points against Syracuse. Interestingly enough, the line opened at Syracuse favor by 6, and about 80% of the tickets are on Syracuse, but the line has dropped to 3, which basically is telling you the smart money is all going on Pitt. Now, if you look at the way Syracuse lost last week against Clemson, and Pitt is notorious for these games where, you know, I mean, last year it was Miami, Florida. I believe the 1 year was Clemson. I think they took Notre Dame to overtime the 1 year. This is just who Pitt is. They're erratic. And if you just look at last week, you're going to say, well, they went to Central Florida and the game was over in the first quarter. Well, that's fine and good. And that's actually what you're looking for, in my opinion, on Pitt this week, is a buy low candidate. You know, getting 4, well, I guess it's down to 3 now. I got it at 4.5, but a perfect buy low candidate. You know, it's the rival Syracuse, and Syracuse coming off that heartbreaking loss against Clemson. I got to love those points. I'd like your guys' opinion on that game.
That's interesting. Go ahead, Marshall.
I respect the guts to make the pick. I obviously love the betting part. And I like the angle, too, because Pitt is a team you probably don't want to bet a couple weeks in a row because, as you stated, they're going to win some, they're going to lose some, they're going to beat who they probably shouldn't, and vice versa. I know they had that tough game against North Carolina a couple weeks ago, which they lost. But that was a lot of motivation from Carolina with all the hurricane and whatnot. So maybe that was a chance they never truly had. And then you mentioned they kind of got smoked last week. So you're right. They had two rough games, come back versus a team that needs to come off a mental high. They beat Florida State with Syracuse. They lost a tough one to Clemson. I'm with you. I like the angle. So I'll be looking to join you on that Pitt angle. And, again, if they're an underdog, they probably will win. That's how crazy that team is.
Yeah, and, you know, it's an interesting pick, like a very subtle, like, okay, I'm going to strike this week type of pick. Because you look at their game against Penn State, that they beat Penn State last year, didn't they, in overtime? Early?
No.
Or was that 2 years
think
ago?
I believe it was a few years ago. But even this
year, the game against Penn State,
it was close the first half, and Pitt was moving the ball, and then it was just a crazy turnovers, and I think dropping punts and just everything. I mean, the score was misleading, in my opinion, in that Penn State game. Pitt had actually been up at half, and obviously it just got out of hand second half. But I think a lot of people are looking at that and, you know, saying, well, Pitt's at home got blown out by Penn State. That's just not the way the game played out if you really watched it.
It is a good pinpoint type of bet, though. I like it. I guess the worry I have is – the rushing yards allowed for Pitt and the rushing yards per game that Syracuse puts up. That kind of worries me a little bit, but I like the angle. I like the angle, no doubt about it. How confident are you with this one?
On a level of 1 to 10, I would say about an 8. I mean, I got it at 4.5 points. So with it sitting at 3 now, obviously, you know, you missed out on the value here, and it's only a field goal. But a 4.5, you know, I would rate it an 8. Now if someone wanted to jump in and get it at 3 points, you know, just like a, you know, 5 or 6, it's not that strong of a play in my opinion. You know, but
sure.
Earlier in the week, if you got it at the good number, you know, really good pick. One of my favorites of the weekend, I would say, the top one that I've seen so far.
Yeah, we do see a snowball effect sometimes when a team, an underdog team, comes up short in a big game. Sometimes we do see a snowball effect too. Like, they're just going to walk out there and be like, did you see last week? Man, we almost beat Clemson. They're just going to come in. And like you said, it's a rivalry game. But, you know, it hasn't been necessarily the biggest rivalry later or of late. But, yeah, that's an interesting pick, man. You got anything other else you want to share or talk about when it comes to this
week
or anything?
I'll go maybe one more game. But the last point on that game, if you look at the history of the Syracuse coach, it's a dramatic decrease as the season goes along from their team. I know his November record, the Syracuse coach, is god-awful, and it starts to decline, in October even. But, I guess the other game that I would go to is, and I got a little – I was a little late to the party on this, but I still like it. I like Cal over Arizona. Cal's like a 2.5-point favor now. But interestingly enough, when the line first came out, I think Arizona was about a 2-point favorite, and dramatically went through a pit. Yeah, when the line first came out, Arizona was a 2.5-point favorite. I mean, within probably, you know, a half an hour, it was Cal was a favorite. But, I think that game – I watched that whole game, Arizona versus USC last week. And I blame more USC letting them in the game. I think at one point it was 24-0 USC, and they just kind of let off the gas. And, you know, Arizona, you know, made it 24-20, made it look respectable. But, Cal has a real good defense, in my opinion. And the quarterback for Arizona, I believe his name is Tate, he's just not the same as last year. He has some kind of injury, ankle injury, that's really limiting him. And he just doesn't look like the same player as last year at all. I like the way Cal looked against BYU earlier in the year, a real good defense. And anything under a field goal, I still like Cal. So that would probably be my second pick.
Interesting, man.
I appreciate it. Oh, I was just going to say, I support the pick. I love Cal's coach. Cal's going to be pretty pissed off after Oregon smoked them. I know a couple people were pretty high on Cal last week to beat Oregon, and they kind of got smacked. So I like all the angles, and I like that one even more than I do the Pitt one, just from my perspective, because it doesn't seem like Sumlin has quite got all the ducks in a row in Arizona yet. He's still trying to maybe piece a couple things together. As you mentioned, Khalil Tate's not quite the Michael Vick on Madden guy he was last year. So I'll even join you more on that one compared to your first one too.
Yeah, clearly Tate's hurt. You could just tell. I mean, and he played
something
like a good chunk 2 years ago too. It wasn't just last year. He closed
sure
2 years ago strong too, putting up crazy numbers. So clear, and he doesn't run much. They don't even call a lot of run plays. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, there was like four called run plays for him. So obviously, there's something wrong, because there's no way in hell you wouldn't use that. You know what I mean? That's what he is. You know what I mean? So interesting. Well, we appreciate the call, man. Anytime you want to call in, please do.
Sounds good. Hey, just leave me on cue so I can listen into the show then.
Gotcha.
Thanks, man.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
You take it easy, man. Yeah, enjoy the weekend games. I'll just mute you there. So, and maybe we can, you know, talk a little bit and jump back and see, you know, if you want to add in anything or whatever you want to do. So I think that about wraps up week five. Might as well jump right into week six. Some of the marquee matchups, number five, LSU. I don't know. Marquee matchup, maybe. 2.5. They're only up by 2.5 going into the swamp. Number 22, Florida, they're facing. That kind of surprised me a little bit. I thought that'd be a tad wider. Number 6, Notre Dame against number 24, Virginia Tech. And they got a new quarterback who actually produced some numbers, because, as we know, Jackson went out. Kentucky, underdog heading in to Texas A&M. That's interesting. 6-point underdog as it sits on the books as we speak. And, of course, the Red River rivalry, number 19, Texas visits. Well, I don't know. It's not really a visit. But number 7, Oklahoma. Oklahoma and Texas, the Red River rivalry. That's always a fun game. I think it'll be, what is it, a 7-point spread right now? Oh, okay, interesting. And they play that at the, what do they call it, the Texas State Fair? Is that what they call that?
Yep. Yeah, it's played at the Cotton Bowl. I might be going to a baseball playoff game in Houston. I might go to that game. I'm not sure. I got options this weekend, but if I go to there, I'm definitely going to have a nice report of God knows what kind of stories when I come back next week. The only
bad thing
is they probably do this out of sanity. Is that game? I think that game kicks off at 11, which probably isn't a bad idea when you got a stadium and a state fair full of people who really, you know, and maybe this kind of a fun rivalry, but there's still probably quite a bit of hatred of Texas and OU. And I mean, might as well start off there. I would say from a betting standpoint right away, you got to like Texas, Chris, because Tom Herman, as an underdog, almost always covers. I think he's like 9-1 now as a head coach, or 10-1 as a head coach, when he's like more than a couple-point underdog since he's been at Texas, or even when he was at Houston. The dude, he doesn't win every game, but, man, he doesn't miss many covers. I think if you're comparing offenses on it, like a little line chart, the OU line chart's going to go much, much further than the Texas offense line chart goes. Defensively, you're going to have the polar opposite, Chris, of Texas's defense is probably miles better than Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's defense is still pretty crappy like last year, but their offense has been so sick this year, they've been pulling up almost 50 a game that make their D look good. So I really think you have a perfect matchup of an awesome offense against a pretty darn good D. Or maybe, I don't know if I'd call Texas's D elite, but they're pretty damn good. And then you have Texas's offense, which is getting better, making progress, but still nothing to brag home about against Oklahoma defense that, even though they're winning this year, Chris, they really haven't been doing it that impressively. Hell, they almost lost to Army.
Yeah, and they haven't – I mean, Army's actually pretty good this year, but they haven't really played anyone. You know, FAU, who's that? We don't know those people. UCLA, they're 0-5 or 0-4. Another new coach
that's struggling.
Iowa State
gave a handful.
Iowa State gave a handful. Like you said, Army went to OT. Baylor, 66-33. Their defense looks good numbers-wise. They're averaging 48 points, 48.6, only giving up 23, but, you know – can we really? I mean, man, I don't know, man. They haven't. I didn't realize that. They literally, it's like they're on the Baylor schedule. It's like, dude, like, when are you gonna play somebody? That's pretty crazy. I just realized that. I thought they had at least one game against a pretty solid opponent, but I stand corrected. So that. That kind of makes me think, man. And after this, I'm gonna finish up, probably spend a 30 minutes, hour just wrapping up my college football predictions article. Now I'm kind of scratching my head. The over-under's at 61.5. What do you think there, 61.5? You think it's going to be under or over? I kind of feel like it might be under, actually.
Yeah. I'd stay away. I mean, because I still think this with Murray, this Oklahoma offense is damn good. And Hollywood Brown, John Brown, whatever, that dude's going to have at least two massive plays. And just especially that crowd, that scene, I wouldn't touch it. I don't know. Honestly, because I still think Oklahoma can easily put up 35-30. And if Texas's offense puts up a decent, yeah, I'd stay away. I guess I'd lean slightly under, but not a bet I'd recommend. I wouldn't even touch that one. I would look more so at Texas plus 8. You know, this game's always close. The Oklahoma friend I went to the game with to start off this year said, dude, never bet this game because whatever you think should happen, it doesn't.
Right.
You get the opposite. So with that said, I mean, take points where you can get them, and who the hell – dude, yeah, I got nothing. Coming from a gambling guy, when I say stay away, it's like, you can't bet on everything. And, you know, just, yeah, I don't know, brother. I would tease Texas up. I find a team and tease Texas up, try to give them, like, 4-2 touchdowns to really cover your butt. But that's the best advice I'd give there.
According to ESPN's Football Power Index, Oklahoma has a 73.3% chance to win in the matchup predictor. Oh, Texas only at 26.7. Obviously, Mr. Do-It-All at quarterback, he's got 17 touchdowns through the air and only two picks. That's pretty damn impressive. And I heard he's a pretty good ball player. Man, this is kind of tough, tougher than I thought, but I'm going Oklahoma. Going to Oklahoma, I think Oklahoma will get the job done, but I think it'll be like, what was the over-under again, 61? So I think it'll be like 30-23 or something like that. But I'm going the Sooners to finally get a respectable, you know, win on their ledger. You with me, Marshall?
What'd you say? Yeah, what did you say, brother?
I just picked the game. Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll take Texas plus the 8. I just think that's a safe thing that'll play in a game where it's uncontrollable from true fans. I know of the team, so I'll take the points and just try to take the safe route out. And
that's
I'll
not what I asked
under,
you.
But,
that's not what. This isn't a bet. This is not a bet.
Oh.
Who are you picking to win the game? No point spread or nothing like that.
Oh, Oklahoma. Their offense, I think their offense does enough. Kyler Murray is going to find where to score points, and Hollywood Brown will have at least two, like, 50-yard touchdowns. I'll really go off on a limb there. See, he breaks Texas's D twice for over 50-yard scores.
Nice. Wow. I like that. He's now all of a sudden he wants to get detailed. I love it. Notre Dame coming in with Ian Book, who's just hot. two games, 616 yards, seven touchdowns, no picks. Dude's coming in hot, no doubt about it. Now, Jackson's hurt for Virginia Tech. However, they did get a really nice win on the road. Duke actually was undefeated. They were ranked. And Ryan Williams threw for 332 and a career-best three touchdowns in his first start. So that's pretty good. I'd have to say that's pretty good, especially when, you know, you kind of felt like, wow, that Jackson had played pretty well last year for a young guy, and you'd assume that he was really going to keep it going this year. But that's not the case. He's hurt. So, you know, maybe it was just a new twist. I mean, this is a game that we called last week saying, you know, I called for an upset here. I thought that Duke is solid. They're not like 5-6 years ago, you know, the same place there. But it was a nice win. Now they got Notre Dame. And, you know, Notre Dame coming off a big win. Like you said, the Stanford. And by the way, we did talk about Stanford having to face another. In fact, that's exactly how I pitched it to you, saying, can they do it again? It is a lot to ask for in September. Well, I mean, they played Michigan week one, and Notre Dame, I'm speaking. And like you said, just to give you a little numbers-wise, they put 24 on Michigan. Michigan's known for their defense. They played Ball State, 24 points. Vanderbilt, a decent program, 22 points. They get a new starter, and they put up 56 on Wake Forest, and they go for 38 last week. So, you know, definitely an improved offense, no doubt about it. It kind of looks like their defense is back to a dominant, say, 2012-2011 state. They do look like the real deal. The old coordinator was just a little too complicated. He was trying to run a system that maybe belongs in the pros, and it just wasn't good. Notre Dame was not good, or great, I should say, on defense. Road game here, the bounce back thing. You know, does Virginia Tech have a chance to, knock off a hot Notre Dame team? How do you see this one, man?
I love Notre Dame just simply based off the passing stats that you said. Unfortunately, I took Duke last week because I thought that whoever the new Vautech kid was would struggle. They embarrassed Duke, and I never hurt myself saying the words Duke gets embarrassed no matter what sport it is. So, but with that said, I'm taking Notre Dame. I just think Vautech's secondary, there's a reason why Old Dominion beat them. Their secondary is not good. Now, for some unearthly reason, Duke tried to run against them last week, which to me is stupid, but hey, to each coordinator, each their own. I just think that defense is going to have issues with Book passing the ball. Did okay against Duke's offense, but Notre Dame's offense is, I would say, a couple steps up better. They're not afraid to throw the ball. And even with home field, you can't patch up a secondary, Chris, that has issues. And you really can't even say the Old Dominion thing was a fluke. Maybe I bet they came out inspired last week. They were probably pissed off against Duke last week. The coach probably on them
right.
All week. And you have an angle of motivation to play, which I wish I thought about before I put money down. But nonetheless, I'm taking Duke to win. I'll say Duke wins by 12.
Duke's going to win game? Man, that's pretty crazy.
Notre Dame wins by 12 or more. Yeah. Yeah, we're having a three-team game, Chris. Let's go.
We've been kind of mixing them up like that, too, with these other games, mixing them in there. So that was bound to happen. If you didn't do it, I would have next. last week I couldn't even get my name right, so who the hell knows, you know what I mean? But I'm with you. I'm with you. Two words, Old Dominion. That's all, you know, and not basketball.
Yep.
You know, it's not basketball. It's football, Old Dominion. That's good enough for me. Although, I could see them finding a way defensively to hang in the game. And, hey, special teams, don't make me break out a stat from Virginia Tech's special teams touchdowns, okay? Because I will. I will. Beamer Ball is alive. And if Beamer Ball comes out, those Catholics up there in Notre Dame better be ready. That's all I'm going to say. Well, let's get right to it. LSU, Florida. LSU only a 2.5-point favorite. Now, they're in the swamp, so, you know, that's 3 points. Still 5.5. I don't know, man. For me right now, I don't really see this. Holy shit. Hold on. I usually don't do that. But according to ESPN's Football Power Index, Marshall, 58.4%. The matchup predictor has Florida winning this game. And they say after an emotional upset win over Mississippi State, it's basically just got them sparked. They're ready to go with Franks, who actually has been better this year, that Franks quarterback for Florida. I know where you're going to go with this one, but God, it just seems like I don't know, man. Like, what exactly? Okay, like they beat Mississippi State. Okay, that's cool. Who else did you beat? No one really. Tennessee's not that good right now. Colorado State's all right, but they're not as good as they were a couple years back. And they got kind of beat, like manhandled by Kentucky. I don't know, man. This one's a head scratcher to me. I don't see Florida getting the job done. In fact, not only that, but Joey, I know him pretty good, so I call the quarterback Joey over there. He actually, Joe Burrow, is that what it is? This guy had a good game last week. He actually had his best, I believe, and quote me if I'm wrong, I believe it was his best game thus far. Well, maybe the Auburn game a little bit. No, he had 3 touchdowns. So, yeah, he went for 292 and 3 touchdowns. Only 25 attempts. If you look at his numbers the last 3 weeks, they're trending up. He's getting more comfortable. Remember, he is a transfer, so he hasn't been there just chilling or nothing like that, just trying to get in the system still. What says you about this matchup?
I'm taking Coach O. I'm taking LSU. I continuously hear from whatever website, TV show, anything, that why is LSU ranked this high? Well, crap, they beat Auburn. And they took care of Miami, and those are two respectable teams. And they haven't had a bad loss yet. And so, I mean, you kind of have to move them up. It's a numbers game, you know. And if you don't think LSU should be ranked 5, well, then hell, Auburn should be ranked about 17. So whatever angle you want to play, people continuously doubt this team. They have a quarterback who is not Aaron Rodgers. He's not pretty. He doesn't fling the ball out every time and make it look right. Nice. But he does have the capability of stepping up, making big plays in games when he needs to. He hasn't had a turnover yet, knock on wood for my bet. And I just like the team. Clearly, Florida's defense is pretty badass. They shut down Mississippi State last week really good on the road, and that's tough to do. So I don't know. I just think you have a defensive battle, but I'm going to keep picking LSU until they lose. Their defense is probably just as good as Florida's or slightly better. Hopefully they avoid any more injuries, but I don't know. I'm gonna stick with LSU until they get beat. And if they get beat this week by Florida at home, you know, that's not an awful loss. That's not like, oh, I knew it all along, LSU sucked. Well, shit, no, they're going to Florida, who's ranked 22nd. So I'll take LSU minus 2.5. I think they continue to prove people wrong, and God, they'll probably win the game and go down in the rankings, Chris, but I'll stick with LSU Tigers.
Yeah, me too. I like LSU in that game. I'm kind of scratching my head over here. There's a couple other ones that kind of piqued my interest from a degenerate betting angle that we'll kind of get into. One of them is, where is it? Well, obviously, we're going to talk about this game next. Kentucky, A&M, six-point underdog going into College Station. ASU, pretty good club, on the rise, potentially anyway, heading into Colorado as a 2.5-point underdog, which basically, as we know, the home field gives you 3 points. So they're basically the favorite in a sense. I'm looking at that going, I like those numbers. I like those numbers. That's kind of interesting to me there. What do you think about that Kentucky-Texas A&M game, man? You know, we it's well documented that we've been talking about Kentucky a whole lot this year. Number 13 now, Kentucky. And they actually, Kentucky aims, this is the headline, for the best start since 1950 at Texas A&M. If they get another W, they're going to have their best start since 1950. And I'll tell you what, the price of gasoline was 18 cents a gallon back then. 68.4% says the ESPN index on this one in favor of A&M. And the last time I checked, Johnny Manziel doesn't play there anymore.
I hate to say this because I've kind of enjoyed this Kentucky ride, and Texas A&M's quarterback, Munn, has really been falling apart since that Clemson game, as I kind of thought last year. I didn't think he was that good of a passer, and since the Clemson game, he's been throwing picks, and his numbers have degressed. But I think you get the Stanford angle of so many tough games in a row. I think you get that for Kentucky now. I mean, they knock off Florida. They take care of South Carolina. I mean, you know, this team, they smoke Mississippi State. So you've had three emotional wins in a row. You're going on the road to arguably one of the toughest places to play in the country. And that's being said with a team that normally doesn't even have the most elite talent in the whole country, but their home field might be the best. I just think there's too many X's going against Kentucky here, Chris. But they have a run game so they can control the momentum. They have a defense. I don't think Munn at home is going to light them up. I think that Clemson game might have been his one and only party this year. But, man, it's just college kids. You've been loved on your campus all week, at last couple of weeks. You've done everything. Can you really continue to keep this going again? I don't think so. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Kentucky wins again. But I just think there's, just like we said with Stanford last week, this is even tougher because they're not a program that's been there and done that like Stanford. I'll take Texas A&M to win. I just think the mojo runs out of Kentucky, but God, I hope I'm wrong, Chris. I would gladly enjoy starting off the show next week talking about Kentucky winning another game against a team that, you know, people keep slowly doubting them.
Yeah. Well, when we talked about this last week, at some point, you know, it is going to wear off. It's something like you said, going around the campus, you're all of a sudden the big man on campus. Kentucky basketball hasn't started yet, so they're like, who are these dudes? Plus, we can beat them up. So, I mean, you know, it's going to happen. However,
yeah,
I'm not going to say it's going to happen this week. I'm going to go on the other side of it, although I do believe it's going to happen, just not this week. It may happen against a team that they're not even – they're favored to win too, but this is going to be a tough game. I like the defense. I like the run game, and that's why I'm going with them. But, you know, A&M has been tested in two games, and they played pretty damn good in them against Bama and Clemson. So they're battle-tested in losses, but still, they're right there. So I wouldn't touch this thing. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of stuck on it, but I'm going to go with Kentucky just because, you know, we've been talking about them so much, I'm just going to keep riding them. But kind of like your LSU, I guess.
Sure.
I agree with the six. Well, maybe not six, because that's nine. I don't believe the nine. But I believe the spread should be lower than six at home for A&M. You know, I think that should – yeah, I don't know. Either way, I'm going Kentucky. Screw it. I'm going Kentucky. I'm going to go with them Wildcats to get the W. Just the game I was talking about, ASU-Colorado. Keep an eye on that one. Forget about the records. Miami and Florida State, sometimes you could just throw it out. It says Miami's a 13.5-point favorite. That's the primetime, or I should say the afternoon, the mid-afternoon game on ABC. 13.5 points. It wouldn't be shocking if the thing comes down to whoever has the ball late. Now, obviously the offensive line's an issue. It has been for 2 years. But especially, it just seems like it just doesn't improve much for Florida State, I'm speaking of. And, you know, I won't play the song again, but the defensive line is a bunch of madmen for Miami. And, man, they Francois is –
Oh, God, that poor kid.
He's going to be wishing he was in France this weekend, eating, like, crumpets and tea. Now, that's more of a UK thing. But eating just shitty food because French food sucks. No, I'm just kidding. I like French dip. I know that's not French. Anyway, there's another game I wanted to bring out. Oh, North Carolina State is 4-0. They're ranked 23 now, the Wolfpack. They had a canceled game against Virginia. I don't know how they got ranked is what I'm saying. Can Boston College run the ball well enough, because we know they got a running back? Can they eat up the clock and get the job done on the road? That's something that I would keep an eye on. A couple other games I'll get to. I'll swing it to you, though, and let you talk about any other of these games or maybe comment on one of the games that I brought up so far, because we got to get out of here soon.
Oh, yeah, the Auburn-Mississippi State, Auburn's got to win this game. I mean, is that Mississippi State? I would expect this to be a very close, low-scoring game. Auburn, I mean, they're ranked eighth, so they got to do something, because their schedule is only going to get much, much worse, as we talked about at the start of the year. And San Diego State, Boise State. Again, not Power 5 conferences, but should be a damn good game. Boise State is off to a pretty good start this year. They got smacked by Oklahoma State. But what I love about this game, Chris, San Diego State, unless they've had a massive injury, I would gladly take them. They're plus 14. San Diego State always runs the ball.
Right.
They always have a good defense. They've had the same coach. I'm going to look at quarterback injuries, but I mean, if people are good to go, dude, I will gladly take San Diego State on the road with 14 points. They played Stanford tight the start of the year. They beat them last year. I'm gonna triple check that, because that doesn't quite seem right. The fact that they're such a massive road dog for a legit team that we think they are. So, yeah. Besides that, man, it should be another fun week.
Fresno is on the road as a 14-point underdog against Nevada, coming off a big win. They got to feel cheapened from that win now, too, because of that bullshit. They know I was, picking the game. I called the administrators. So Fresno State, they can score. So that might be interesting, too. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, and my last one is Mizzou at South Carolina. Mizzou's coming off the bye week from when Georgia smacked them. They had way too many mental mistakes we talked about a couple weeks ago. South Carolina's got talent. They got Debo Samuels, who might be one of the best receivers in the country. And they got Bailey, who's a decent quarterback, but they need this win. If you're South Carolina, you can't fall to 2-3 on the year, 1-3 in conference. And Mizzou started off 0-1-2. This is kind of a game, Chris, that even though it's week six, someone's got to win this game. Neither of those teams can afford to go 1-3 or 0-2. So South Carolina is a 1.5 point spread. That should be a really fun game. If you got the SEC Network on DirecTV, a game kicks off at 11. That should be a fun watch. You have a lot of offensive talent. Last year, defense actually turned out to be the dictator of that game, but I would definitely turn that on. I'm not saying it'll be Texas Tech, West Virginia, but that should be a fun one to watch. A pretty competitive game, with two teams dying for an improvement on their record.
Could be a good game, no doubt about it. I think it's time for the crafty pick of the week. What do you got for me, sir?
So
and it better not be any bullshit quarterback stuff, I'll tell you that right now.
We talked about the Red Rival rivalry. Now, what's going to surprise you, Chris, is the fact there's actually a bigger game in Texas that involves Texas teams that you aren't aware about.
Gotta love this intro. I'm laughing my ass off.
We got, you know, we're going to Rice. We're going to Rice, Houston, Texas. So the Rice Owls are hosting the UTSA Roadrunners. So the University of Texas San Antonio Roadrunners are Speedy Gonzalesing it down to Rice. Who is going to win this fierce Texas matchup of the Roadrunners against the Owls? I'm pretty sure, hypothetically, a Owl can never catch a Roadrunner, although can they run at night? I'm not sure. There's a lot of variations of science here that have me massively confused. So I'm going to let you break this one down, my friend.
Well, clearly you could tell this is a bigger game because according to Vivid Seats, Rice Stadium, huge stadium, they have they only have 234 tickets available at the very low price of $21. The other one was $220 at the low price, so that kind of puts it in perspective. And who did you say is the – I'm popping this – where's my – oh, the screen kind of froze. You said
Rice
that they're –
minus
one. Okay, all right. So they're – okay, so this is a good game. Wow, you weren't kidding. You were not kidding. Very interesting. All right, so we got the they called their freaking mascot the Roadrunners. I can't even pick this game. The Roadrunners? That's better than the Buffalo Flying Squirrels from the late 90s. The Flying Squirrels. There is such a thing, though. I will say that. Now, Rice, they have a better offense by about 7 points, give or take. However, their defense is just hot garbage. Steaming, sticky, smelly, hot garbage. 42 points a game. And the Roadrunners are giving up, you know, almost 34. So they're garbage too. But, oh, my goodness gracious. So this is a good game, dude. Oh, my God. So, okay. So Rice can't, like, they give up so many passing yards, over 310. Both of them kind of give up a lot of passing yards. Man. Wow. The Owls are at home, and they can run the ball. And it doesn't look like, go figure, the Roadrunners, they're probably spreading it out, trying to use their speed more than likely, right? Because they're Roadrunners. They're not even at 100 per game. But if you look at it.
Maybe their mascot died this year.
Maybe. Well, probably. You're probably going to bring it up later on me, and they're going to win one for the freaking mascot. And then I'll be like, I didn't even know that happened. So they played ASU, Baylor, and K-State. So they've been tested. Now, they lost all those games, but they've been tested. God, like, how the hell – you're looking at it, and you kind of feel like, how the hell is Rice going to win this game? Man, but then you look – that's why their stats suck. Okay, so I'm going to go – usually I go with the road favorite, right? That's usually like the golden goose. So this would be the road dog barely. It's not barely.
By a point,
right?
Yeah.
And it's not even because of the 3 points. So
sure.
I do realize
it's a pick'em.
Out there, Rice Stadium fans, Rice, don't get me wrong. I realize that's an intimidating stadium to play in. However, I think those Roadrunners, where are they from again?
What'd you say?
I didn't know the Roadrunners. Where the hell are they from again?
Oh, Texas San Antonio. So it's the
Spurs
against the Rockets, if you want to look with a little NBA spin on it. But also, Chris, here's a factor, because I might go down Saturday for the Houston-Cleveland baseball game. There's an Astros game that afternoon. Are people going to go to the Houston Astros ballpark for MLB playoffs? Or they got to go to a Rice Owls matchup? I'm not sure. One ticket's much cheaper than the other. I promise you that.
Man, you could probably get a scalp ticket. They probably like you could probably you know they'll probably pay you like, hey dude, here's $5 and a ticket. Please go in. With that said, I'm going with the Roadrunners on the road. They're gonna come in and just run rapid all over Rice defense, although they can't run the ball. So I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But usually that works out pretty good when it happens. So, God, I'm so stuck. I'm tap dancing right now. I'm trying to buy time. I'm going with the Roadrunners. I'm going with the Roadrunners to get the W in the crafty pick of the week that thus far has been kind of crappy. It's been a crappy crafty pick of the week, but we're trying to turn it around. We're still on our one-game winning streak, though, because last week,
yes,
we're throwing that out.
Yep. If you're new to this podcast, if we would have bet every game we've done for the past 5 years, we would be probably at a 70 to 80% winning ticket. The last couple of years, he started off 7-0 both times. And these are legit picks that I don't tell him. I don't care. I find the worst matchup possible, and I throw it at him, and we have a fun comical spin to this. Hell, we had Rutgers in Kansas earlier this year, and he picked that wrong, but you can never blame a man picking that game wrong. So with that said, that wraps up the show. As always, we appreciate all of our listeners. If I do go to Texas, Oklahoma this weekend, I will gladly have a breakdown. If I go to Houston for baseball, I'm not going to the Rice game. I will still go for baseball, but maybe I could find some Rice Owl fans after for a beer. And, thanks as always for listening. We'll be back next week. Will Kentucky continue to have that run of the lifetime? We'll see. So until then, enjoy your week. Have a safe week. As always, spend time with your family. Have a good weekend. The boys are out. Peace.